Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday morning. This is the Lord's Day, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord. We're glad for all of those who are here in person, seeing some new faces each week, and that's great. It's time to get back out into the house of the Lord. I saw something great on Facebook yesterday. A pastor posted, "The more you miss church, the less you'll miss church." So it's time to get back in church. Amen. And so it's time to get back in church, especially if you've gotten your shots and you don't have any underlying conditions. We encourage you to come back to the house of the Lord. There is nothing like being in person with the body of Christ and enjoying the fellowship of the saints. Amen. And we welcome those that are joining us online. So glad to have you with us this morning. We're opening our service today with Psalm 107, verse 35, that says, "But he also turned." Some version says changes. "He also changes deserts into pools of water, the dry land into springs of water." And this entire psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving, and much of it is giving thanks for the faithfulness and the goodness of God to Israel while they were wandering in the wilderness. And this particular verse speaks of the water that God supplied for his people in the desert. And not just pools of water, but springs of water, flowing water. Amen? And not even the desert could stop God from satisfying the thirst of his people. Hallelujah. And we may not think that the circumstances are optimal for God to move or for God to pour out his spirit, but God delights to turn or change our circumstances into an occasion for unexpected blessing. And I believe that even in the midst of the unfavorable circumstances of this pandemic and social distancing and masks, God wants to pour out his spirit. He wants to revive his people. He wants to send the rivers of living water in the midst of our desert. Amen? And that's reason to praise God. So let's stand to our feet. If you're at home, stand to your feet. Don't get lazy sitting in that recliner. Amen? Stand to your feet and let's praise the Lord. Let's lift up our voices and give praise and honor to him. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you're a God who delights to bless your people in unexpected times and places, Lord God. We thank you that no unfavorable circumstances can stop the work of your hand or the flow of your Holy Spirit. Wherever you find thirsty people, you have promised to pour out your spirit. We thank you that you change our deserts into springs of living water. We are believing you to change the wilderness of this pandemic into a mighty revival, pouring out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon your church, Lord God, to bring refreshing, to bring renewal, to bring revival, and to empower your Holy Spirit, Lord God. We pray that you would start that very work here in our lives and in our midst. We are thirsty for you. We are crying out to you, and we come to you today, Jesus. We love you. We ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit in fresh and living ways in our souls today, Lord God, that our lives may be changed and empowered for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. We're glad to have a portion of our worship team with us today, and they're going to lead us in worship. So let's just join our hearts and voices together.
Yes, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, oh God. Let's just praise the Lord this morning to be in his house, to worship him, to give him honor and all glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, O Lord, for bringing us together this morning, O Lord, to worship you, Father God. Have your way in our midst, O Lord. Sing it out. Sing to the King.
Sing to the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation his empire shall bring. And joy to the nations when Jesus is King. Come, let us sing a song declaring we belong to Jesus. He's all we need. Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised to Jesus. Sing to the King.
For his returning.
For his returning, we watch and we pray. Satan is vanquished and Jesus is King. Come, let us sing a song declaring we belong to Jesus. He's our redeemer. Lift up a heart of praise.
We praise you. Come on, let's give him the praise. We can do better than that this morning. Let's shout it out, church, that Jesus is good, that Jesus is Lord, and that we are in love with you, Jesus. We welcome your presence in this place. We welcome your presence in our homes, wherever this signal is reaching, oh Lord. We love to be in your presence. In your presence, there is joy, there is freedom, there is healing, there is power, there is wisdom. We love your presence, Jesus. Come and dwell among us, O Lord. Hallelujah.
Matchless love and beauty, endless word. Nothing in this world can satisfy.
Jesus,
Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Say it. Who is like?
Who is like the Lord in all the earth?
Matchless love,
matchless love, and beauty, endless world. Nothing in this world can satisfy.
Jesus, you're the one.
Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Leave your hands and say, your presence is heaven to me.
Your presence.
Treasure of my heart, Lord Jesus. Love you, Lord.
Treasure of my heart and of my soul. In my weakness, you are merciful.
Redeemer of my past.
Redeemer of my past and present wrong. Holder future days to come.
Say it out, your presence.
Your presence is heaven to me.
You don't have to be in your presence, Lord Jesus. You're awesome, God.
Your presence,
your is like the Lord?
Who is like the Lord, Lord Jesus?
Who is like the Lord in all the earth? Much less love and beauty, endless word. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Your presence, oh Lord.
Your presence is heaven to me.
Yes, oh Lord,
oh, your presence.
For nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
All of my days on earth,
all my days on earth, I will await the moment that I see you face to face. Nothing in this world can satisfy.
Jesus, you're the cup.
Jesus, you're the cup of all run dry.
Nothing in this world.
Nothing in this world can satisfy.
Nothing can fill us the way you do.
Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's nothing, there's no one like you. And Father, we declare this morning that healing is here. Because where the presence of the Lord is, there is healing. There are miracles. There is breakthrough where the presence of Jesus is. So this morning, we lift our hands before you, oh God. We lift our eyes to you because where my help's come from? My help comes from you, Jesus. Not from the world, not from people, but from you and you alone, oh Lord. You are my healer. You are our Savior. You are our provider, the rock in which we trust. Hallelujah.
is the Lord.
I reach my hand
to heavens,
to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in
is here. Declare it. Believe it.
Freedom is here. Freedom is here.
Receive it. Say, I receive it, Lord.
Freedom is here.
Stay.
Sickness can
stay right where you are. Declare that and believe it with all your heart. If you are sick, declare it. Sickness can no longer stay in my body. This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Declare it right where you are. Is your will?
It's your will.
This morning, not a song, but a declaration. Sickness
can't stay any longer.
Your perfect
love is casting out fear.
You are the God.
You are the God of all power.
Is your will?
It's your will that my life is healed.
We rebuke sickness this morning in the name of Jesus.
Sickness can stay.
Oh, receive the Holy Spirit.
Your perfect love is casting out fear.
You are the God.
You are the God of all power.
It's your will, oh God.
And it's your will. I reach my
hands. Worship Jesus this morning. That's where your breakthrough is, in the worship of the Lord.
There is
power in worship. There is power in praise. Pick up that weapon. Use that weapon this morning. Whether you're here, whether you're at home, pick up the weapon of praise. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Hallelujah. I reach
my hands to the heavens.
I reach. If you need a fresh feeling of the Holy Spirit this morning, lift your hands towards heaven as a sign of surrender to the presence of the Lord and say where you are. I'm empty. I'm empty and I need you to fill me right now. I need a fresh feeling of the Holy Ghost. I need you to fill me right now with that fresh oil from heaven, from the power of your Spirit, power that is above everything that I face this morning.
I lift my eyes where my help comes from.
Look to you.
I look to trust in you.
Let's praise it, church. We're coming for the breakthrough. Hallelujah.
I lift my hands.
Oh, I don't want to stay in the valley.
Heaven.
I don't want to stay now in the valley. I'm going up. I'm going up to be with God this morning. I'm meeting God this morning. I want encounter. I want fellowship. I want relationship.
My healer. I trust in you.
My house I be called a house of prayer unto the nations.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, we pray that you would hear the sound of prayer this morning.
Yes, Lord.
That you would hear the sound of praise this morning.
Oh, if you're filled with the Spirit, would you just worship Him in the Spirit right now? And everyone else, just worship Him in your known language. Just lift your voice to Him right now. We worship and exalt you. We glorify your name, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We welcome your presence here. Our eyes are upon you, O God, because our help comes from you. You are our all in all, Lord God. We worship you. We worship you. We thank you for your presence that is here right now. For in your presence, there is healing. In your presence, there is deliverance. In your presence, miracles take place. In your presence, burdens are lifted. Chains are broken. Right now, healing is flowing. Oh, right now, chains are being broken. Lift your hands to heaven and receive.
Lift my eyes where my help comes from. I trust to you.
I love you, Lord. We worship you, Lord God.
We wait on you.
You are great and greatly to be praised.
Holy Spirit. Love you, Lord. Love you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I lift my hands before you. I'm no longer gonna be quiet.
Jesus.
Jesus. Break the chains of heaviness.
Break
the chains of heaviness.
Hallelujah. 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 We wait on you. We wait on you. Have your way, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.
Yada mama, yada la 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 There is an outpouring. There is an outpouring.
Hallelujah.
I love you.
Mama. Oh, we worship you, we worship you. Oh, we take this moment not to ask a thing from you, but just to worship you. We welcome you. Enter into your courts. Enter into your courts this morning. Have your birthday control.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we honor you,
yada
Jesus.
Mama, yada mama.
We honor you, Jesus.
We love you, we love. We love you, we love you. Jesus, I love you.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, I love you. Yada, yada, maha,
just receive that from the Lord right now. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Spine, and I'm sensing that there's someone that has a problem in their spine in the lower back. If that's you, just lift your hand to heaven. Just receive right now. His presence is among us. Where he is, there is healing. Lord, we just come against pain and discomfort in the spine. Rebuke it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And in the authority of Jesus' name, we command pain and discomfort to depart. And we pray that you would just speak to the very cause of it, Lord God, to the very cause of it, and bring healing and restoration, O Lord.
Within me.
I love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord.
I exalt.
As you see the tide of darkness rise in the world around you, I want you to know that I am about to do things in this world that will astound you, that will be unlike anything you have ever seen before. For I have promised that in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit in an unprecedented manner that is going to bring a great revival that will turn many hearts to me before the end comes. I will do all that I have said that I will do. So do not lose faith. Do not be discouraged, but keep your eyes upon me, because I, the Lord God, will fulfill every word that I have spoken. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to your name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Our eyes are on you, Lord. Our eyes are on you, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. I just keep sensing that there's someone that you have a problem in the area of your throat. And I believe healing virtue is flowing to you right now. Would you just take your hand, if that's you, and just lay it on your throat right now. And in the name of Jesus, receive his healing virtue. Heavenly Father, we lift this individual before you right now. Oh, Jesus, let your power flow towards them right now.
We pray.
Bring healing, oh God. Command their body to come into alignment with the declaration of your word that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. We claim that and declare it over that throat right now. And we believe you for a miracle, Lord God. We look to you with expectancy. to hear the good report, the report of praise, oh God. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer now. And if you have a need in your life, I want to encourage you just to stretch your hand towards heaven. As we're praying, Virginia Guadalupe posted in the comments requesting prayer. I believe it's for her daughter-in-law's father who has cancer and does not know the Lord. So let's pray for Virginia's, we're going to call him her in-law, and we're going to pray for him today. And we want to continue to pray for Shandine. I understand she's at home. We want to praise God for that. We want to pray for complete recovery in her life. We want to continue to pray comfort for Dorothy Narbonne's family. They lost their son this past week to COVID. Dorothy has been a longtime member, a leader in our girls' ministry, and just such a wonderful blessing to our body. We want to pray God's comfort for them. We also want to pray for Rosalyn Oney's family. I heard that she lost her sister this past week as well. So let's lift these needs before the Lord, and we're going to agree together in prayer for your need as well, whether you're at here or at home. If you have a need, just stretch your hand towards heaven. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the nearness of your presence. We thank you that you're a God who comes down and makes himself known in the midst of his people. Thank you for your presence here right now. And Father, as we join together, we are lifting these needs before you, Lord God. Father, we're praying for Virginia's in-law. We pray that your hand would be outstretched towards him even this very morning. Father, we pray that you would touch him, that you would minister healing unto his body, but most importantly, that you would turn his heart towards you, that he would come to know you in a real and living way as his Lord and Savior. Father, we pray for his family, that you would give them strength, that you would give them peace, and that you would use this, if they do not know you, to draw them unto yourself, Lord God. Make yourself manifest in this family, Lord. Father, we come before you right now. We thank you for the good news of Stephanie's return home, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that she was doing well enough to be able to go home. Father, we are believing you for complete healing, for complete restoration of mobility in her body, Lord God. Touch her even now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we're lifting Dorothy before you, Lord, and Vince. We're lifting the entire Narbonne family into your presence, Lord. Surround them with your love and minister in your grace to their hearts, Lord God. Comfort them, strengthen them, Lord. Father, we lift up Rosalind's family before you in this time of sorrow. We pray that your presence would be very near to them, that they would feel your strength sustaining them through this dark hour, Lord God. Bring comfort to their hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray right now that you would look down and that you would see every hand that is uplifted, indicating a need, Lord. Father, that you would hear the cry of each and every heart, oh God, and that you would stretch forth your mighty arm towards your people, and that you would release your supernatural power to work miracles on their behalf, Lord God. Father, we're believing you for miracles of healing, for miracles of deliverance, for miracles of financial blessing and provision. We're believing you for miracles of breakthrough, Lord God. We're believing you for miracles of changed hearts in the loved ones that your people are praying for. There are people among this church family that are burdened for loved ones, Lord God. Father, you know that burden. You know what concerns them. And Father, we're praying right now in the name of Jesus that you would intervene in the hearts of those loved ones, Lord God, that you would change hearts. Father, we place every need, every situation, every problem into your able hands today, standing in the confidence that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we ask all of these things in the strong and mighty name of Jesus, and we give you all of the praise and all of the glory. Amen, amen. And all God's people said, amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. You may be seated. So good to have you in the house of the Lord. And it's amazing. Our opening scripture was about streams in the desert and how the pandemic can't stop the Spirit from moving. And God said, I'm going to prove it to you. Amen. And he just came down and made himself real. And we praise God for that. We want to welcome everybody who's here this morning and joining us online. And especially want to welcome those that may be visiting with us for the first time. If you're here as a first-time guest, would you just indicate by upraised hand? We have one right here. Would you give her a great big hand of welcome? So good to have you with us. Would you share your name, where you're from, and how you found out about us? Go right ahead.
Your name is Sonsha Pelloween. That's Kitley's sister.
Oh, wonderful. So you found out through Ketlin. Wonderful. So good to have you with us this morning. We welcome you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. We're glad that you're here this morning, and we hope that you'll feel right at home and that you'll enjoy the service. And we welcome everybody that's joining us for the first time online. Oh, somebody's pointing back here. Oh, we have one back here as well. Go ahead. We said the first time in about 20 years, so we're glad to have you back. Amen. Wonderful to have you with us. For those that are visiting this morning for the first time or the first time in a long time, if you'll just text your name to the phone number on the screen, we just want to send you a welcome information, important information. For those of us joining us online, if you would just type first time, if it's your first time, just type first time in the comments and let us know where you're listening from. We just want the opportunity to be able to greet you and welcome you to the family of God. We're so glad that you're joining us today. For everyone, we want to just keep you abreast of some of the upcoming events. We want to let you know that next Sunday morning, we're going to be having water baptism. We already have three candidates that are signed up for water baptism. And if you have recently given your heart to Christ or rededicated yourself to the Lord, we encourage you to follow the Lord in obedience in water baptism. You will need to meet in my office right by the front door there, 10 a.m., bring a change of clothes and a towel, and please be prompt because we have very limited time before the morning service. So please be on time at 10 a.m. And if you'd like to sign up for water baptism, just go to our website, nl-fl.org, and on that homepage in the first graphic box, you will see several buttons. One of them says water baptism. Just click on water baptism, and all the information is there, and you can sign up right there. So please be sure and do that. We're also excited that next Sunday, we're going to start having in-person children's services again. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. That's one step back to normalcy, and we're looking forward to that. And Josie, I know, is already preparing. I spoke with her yesterday, and she's already getting herself ready. We're going to continue to do a Zoom alternative for children's ministry at 10 a.m. for those that are not yet comfortable coming out, but we are going to be hosting in-person children's ministry starting next Sunday. So if you've got your kiddos, be sure to bring them out, and you can register for them the same way that you register for the adult service. There will be a children's registration there as well, and you can register, and that way they'll know how many kids to prepare for. And again, we're going to be practicing all the proper protocols of social distance seating and masks, etc., to keep our kids safe as well. Next Saturday is men's ministry. It's at May 1st, and so we encourage you, if you want to be a part of the men's fellowship, that you would just either contact Mike, who is Mike Mumford, our men's ministry director, or you can contact our church office and we will get you the Zoom access information for our men's fellowship. We also want to let you know that our Ministry Training Institute is beginning classes the first Thursday night in May, which is right around the corner. And today is actually the deadline to register without a late fee. And the classes being offered are Spirit-Empowered Church and Acts 2 Model. And that's going to be an exciting class. I prepared the materials for it, and it's just really exciting to see God's blueprint for the church. And then the second class is Introduction to Pentecostal Doctrine. They are $88 each. This is through Global University, the Assemblies of God. And they are excellent, excellent classes that would be offered generally in a type of a Bible college context. But this is Bible college come to you, and it will help to deepen your knowledge and understanding of God's Word and better equip you to serve Him. So if you're interested in taking those classes, it's going to be by video conference again this term. But you can go to our website, nl-fl.org, click the Connect tab, and on the drop-down menu, just select Ministry Institute. All the information is there. You can enroll online. You can pay online. You can even take your final exam online. So all of that going on in the next couple of weeks. We also want to remind you that our Healing Prayer Ministry is having virtual prayer sessions for anybody who is in need of prayer. And you can just call the church office to make an appointment, and they will set a time with you to have a team of prayer warriors that will pray for you virtually. So we encourage you to go ahead and do that. We remind everybody that those of you that are here know it already, that we are hosting in-person services on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. with masks and social distancing and all of those things. But you do need to reserve your seat. Just go to our website, nl-fl.org, and click register to attend to reserve your seat. We are live streaming all of our services Sunday mornings as well as Sunday evening at 6:30. We are live streaming again on Wednesday nights, a time of the word and worship and prayer with our pastoral staff at 7:30, and then on Thursday nights at 7:30 with Pastor Anna and some of the worship team members. So join us as frequently as you can for these services to remain encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. And of course, our live stream is available both on Facebook and on YouTube. And when it's live, it's also available on our website. I say when it's live because after the appointed time, they remain archived on Facebook and YouTube, but you cannot access it on the live stream channel at our Facebook, but there is a messages tab that you can see previous services through Vimeo. We do have children's ministry, at 11 a.m. next week and 10 a.m. by Zoom, and you can contact Josie for the access information for that. And of course, anytime that you have prayer requests, you can call the church office or email us. We're working remotely, but we will check messages regularly and have a team of prayer warriors praying for you. At this time, we're going to worship the Lord with our giving, and to prepare our hearts for the worship of giving, we're reading from John 10, verses 7 through 10. Jesus speaking, he said, he explained it to them, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life," or some versions say life abundant. In this chapter of John, Jesus begins to describe himself as the good shepherd, and he describes how he watches over and takes care of the flock. But more than just a shepherd, he says he's also the gate. He is the means of entering in to become a part of that flock. He is the door. And in opposition to this door of blessing is the thief. Or Satan, who is the force at work behind the thief, who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus, on the other hand, comes to give. He comes to bless. He brings life. The Greek word is zoe, and it means the God kind of life, the kind of life that is abundant, that is full, that is satisfying. And the thief is a false shepherd. He cares only about feeding himself. He doesn't care about building up or blessing the flock. He steals sheep in order to kill them and thus destroys a part of the flock. But Christ comes to bring sheep into the flock. He comes to bless the flock. The thief takes life. Jesus gives life abundantly. And one Greek scholar, A.T. Robertson, says the Greek word translated as abundant literally means overflow or to have a surplus. And in relation to our giving today, in which of these ways do we come? Are we a taker or are we a giver? Will our giving show that we only care about ourselves, or will our giving show that we want to bless the flock, that we want to bring others into the flock? Or will our giving reflect that we are in turned or self-centered? And if we're truly obedient in our giving, then there will be blessing. There will be blessing in this flock, in this house. There will be blessing to bring more into the flock, to minister to others. So let's worship the Lord today in a spirit of Christ, to give, to be a blessing to this body of Christ and its ministry, not only to this church, but to our community and reaching others for Christ. And we have three ways that you can give, because of course our services are touchless, so we're not passing an offering plate, but you can give through text giving. The number should be on your screen, 954-516-1522, and you can just text any amount, hit send. If you want to give $25, it's just 25. and hit send. You don't need a decimal or change. And if you're a first-time giver, it's going to return a text message to you with a link. Click on that link. Fill in your name and payment information. After that, that information will be saved in the secure servers of Purpose Gateway. All you need to do is then save the phone number to your cell phone, and whenever you want to give, you just pull it up in your texting app and text any amount. If you're giving tithes and offerings, it's just the amount and hit send. If you're giving to the building fund or missions, it's the amount followed by the word building or the amount followed by the word missions and hit send. And if you're not comfortable with text giving, you can always give online at our website, nl-fl.org, and just click the Give tab, and you'll see your options for giving there. You can give either through Purpose Gateway, the same provider that we use for text giving, or PayPal, whatever's more convenient for you. And then thirdly, you can mail your offerings into the church, as some are doing. It doesn't matter how you give. What matters is that you do honor and worship the Lord with your tithes and offerings. So if you're giving this morning, we encourage you just to stand to your feet and lift your phone to the Lord. If you're giving by text, if you're giving by computer, just touch that computer as a point of contact, and we're going to declare God's word. If you have your offerings, lift them to the Lord. You can stand to your feet here, stand to your feet at home, and let's declare God's word over our lives. Lord, today I worship you by bringing the tithe and the offering in obedience to your word, in honor of your lordship, in gratitude for your blessings, and with faith in your promises. I declare an open heavens and overflowing blessing in my life. I declare that you will rebuke the devourer on my behalf. You will cause blessings to chase me down and overtake me. You will bless me in whatever I do and wherever I go. You will replace my lack with abundance. You will command your blessings upon my finances and upon my job. And you will make me a lender and not a borrower. You will cause me to succeed and not to fail. You will supply all of my needs according to your riches in glory. And I declare that as I give, it will be given back to me in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and generosity in giving. We appreciate it, and God will honor it. Let's take this opportunity as the worship team comes back to lead us in song to give our offerings to the Lord.
Empieza.
There is no rock, there is no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. The rock of salvation that cannot be moved. Proving himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like our God. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, worship team. We appreciate you. If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me once again to John 7, verses 37 through 39. We're continuing our series for the season of Pentecost titled Outflow. And today's message is Believe, Believe. I heard a story of some farmers in Kansas that had been enduring an extended period of drought, and they were losing their cattle and their crops couldn't grow, and they became desperate for rain. So one Sunday, the pastor said to his congregation, "There is nothing that will save us except God. And the Lord promises that if we pray in faith, he will hear us. So go home, fast for a week, and pray." Then next Sunday, we'll hold a service to claim the Lord's promise, because I just know it will rain next week at this same time if we will believe. The people agreed, and they went home, and they fasted during the week, and then they returned the following Sunday. But as soon as the minister saw them, he became indignant. He said, "Go home. How can you expect to claim the Lord's promise if you have no faith?" One of the church members said, "But Reverend, we fasted and prayed, and we've come here believing that the Lord will be true to his word." "Believing," the pastor said. "Then where in the world are your umbrellas?" It'll catch up with some of you, Mom, in a moment. But faith is vital to our entire Christian life. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." If we want to receive anything from God, he says it's impossible to please God without faith. Paul tells us in Hebrews 2:8, we are saved by faith. And everything else God desires to give us and do in our lives, it is received by faith. And this is true in regard to the experience of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promises in John 7, verses 37 through 39. So grab your Bible right now and open it up, or if you're using the YouVersion app, then search for John 7, verses 37 through 39. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and the scripture says, "On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, 'Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scripture declares, rivers of living water will flow from his heart.'" When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him, but the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. You know, this promise is given to anyone. In verse 38, he said, "Anyone." In verse 37, he said, "Anyone who's thirsty." Then he says, "Anyone who believes." And then in verse 39, he says, "Everyone." So the words "anyone" and "everyone" indicate that the experience that Jesus is speaking of is for everybody. And when he says "anyone who believes in me," indicates that the first step to receiving this experience is believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's salvation, but it's also indicating that there's an experience beyond salvation that God desires for every one of us to have. And the Spirit's work in salvation is something inside of us. It's a transformation that takes place inside of us. We are born again. We are made new by the Spirit. But the second experience of the Spirit that Jesus speaks is something that not only takes place inside of us, but it flows out from us. It is an empowerment of the Holy Spirit for ministry. So the baptism in the Holy Spirit is about empowering us to be his witnesses, to continue the ministry of Jesus in the world. And what is that ministry? It's not only preaching the gospel, but it is healing the sick, and it's delivering the oppressed. It is ministering in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and God wants all of us to minister under the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of Christians have not been taught or do not understand that receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a separate faith experience distinct from salvation. There are whole segments of Christianity that see salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit as one experience, just the forgiveness of our sins and being born again. But that's not what the scripture teaches us. And because many people believe this or have been taught mistakenly, they are missing out on the second greatest gift of God next to salvation, an experience that God desires for every believer, And we should want every good gift that God desires to give us, especially one as wonderful and as important as the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, if you notice, the word believe or believing is used two times in our text, because faith is the prime ingredient needed for receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, 29 times in the New Testament, faith is connected to the Holy Spirit. Faith is the key that unlocks the flow of the superabundant power of God's Spirit in and through our lives. So today, we want to explore the faith that is required to receive Jesus' promise of rivers of living water flowing out from our innermost being, so that we too can tap into that river of the Holy Spirit that is still flowing today, so that we can live, act, and minister in the superabundant power of His Holy Spirit. And the first principle that we see from the word believe here is that we must ask in faith. We must ask in faith. Asking is essential to receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I've heard people through the years say, if God wanted me to have it, He'd give it to me. But it doesn't happen automatically. We have to ask. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not something that is just automatically given to everyone who is saved. We have to pray specifically, asking God to give us this wonderful gift of the empowerment of His Holy Spirit. We need to pray for God to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. In Luke 11:13, Jesus was teaching His disciples on the subject of prayer, and He says, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him?" Who does He give the Holy Spirit to? To them who ask Him. In the book of Acts, 120 of Jesus's followers obeyed His command to go to Jerusalem and wait to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 1:14, it says they all met together and were constantly united in prayer. They were asking. And in response to their fervent prayer, Acts 2 verses 1 through 4 says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as of fire sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But they had faith. How do we know they had faith? First of all, they believed Jesus's promise, and they went to Jerusalem as He commanded, and they were praying, and they were waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. You see, faith is expressed in prayer. Prayer is the voice of faith. And Jesus twice said the Spirit would be given to those who believe in Him. Now, do we really believe in Jesus? If we do, then we'll believe what He says, and we will act on it in faith, just like the followers of Christ acted in faith on what He said as He promised the Holy Spirit, and they acted in faith going to Jerusalem and waiting. Now, we have faith in many other areas of our life, don't we? And sometimes we're challenged to have that level of faith in God. For instance, we believe our doctors. We don't really know them beyond the 15 minutes or so we meet with them in our office, however frequently as we do, but we believe them. And one of these doctors that we don't know really well may at some point say, "You need surgery." And we believe them. And we allow them to knock us out and open us up and take out whatever they need to take out. We do it because we believe their word. Do we believe God as much as we believe our doctors? Jesus tells us that we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We need it. But a lot of people say, "I'm doing fine without it." Do you tell your doctor, "I'm doing fine without surgery"? Jesus says we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then He invites us to come and drink. Do we really believe Him? If we do, we will come to Him and we will ask Him to give us the baptism in the Holy Spirit, to give us those rivers of living water flowing out of our innermost being. So we have to ask. Asking is essential to receiving the baptism in the Holy Ghost. But asking also expresses desire. You ask for what you want. In Mark 11:24, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask," the King James Version says, "whatever you desire in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." The Greek word ask means to beg, to call out for, to crave, to desire, to require. Jesus is saying that desire, craving, or thirst is the driving force behind answered prayer. If your desire is weak, then your prayers will be weak. You won't pray passionately. You won't pray fervently. You won't pray passionately. And if our desire for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is weak, we may pray a few moments. We may pray when Pastor Maria tells us to pray. But we won't be praying through the week at home, setting time aside to say, God, fill me. I want more of you. Lord, I want to be empowered so that I can serve you. If our desire for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is weak, we won't respond when the call goes forth for us to seek for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I love the story of a young man who went to a preacher searching for God. And after talking for a while, the preacher was getting frustrated because he wasn't having very much success. And finally, he took the young man down to a nearby river, and he grabbed him, and he put his head underwater. Try ministering like that today. Amen. Be a lawsuit. But anyhow, the young man began to squirm and to flail and to try his best to come up out from under the water. But the preacher held him under. And finally, he lifted his head up above the water. The preacher asked him, son, when you were under the water, what did you want more than anything else? And the young man, barely catching his breath, said, air, air. And the preacher said, son, when you want God as bad as you wanted air, then you'll find him. Come on now, folks. That's how we've got to want the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus illustrates the kind of prayer needed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the story of a man who receives a midnight visitor. You probably remember the story. The man gets a midnight guest. He has no bread, no food to offer him. So he goes to his neighbor and he begins banging on his neighbor's door. But it's midnight and the neighbor tells him, I'm asleep and my family's asleep. Go away. You're going to wake them up. But the man refuses to go away. He refuses to take no for an answer. So he keeps on knocking on the door until finally his neighbor gets up and gives him everything he needs because of his shameful persistence. Then Jesus makes the application of the story to prayer. And he says, and so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open unto you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks the door will be open. And in the very next verses, he talks about how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him. So he's saying this is the kind of prayer that we need to pray, that persistent prayer, that shameless prayer that refuses to give up, that prayer that keeps on knocking as long as it takes in order to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Your desire for the baptism in the Holy Spirit needs to be so strong that you refuse to be denied. And even if you don't receive, when you come, you keep coming, you keep coming, you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking, and you don't give up until you receive all that you need. And that doesn't just go for the first time we get baptized in the Holy Ghost. We need to get filled with the Spirit regularly. Amen. And especially if you're going through a dry time where you're saying, you know what? I just feel so dry spiritually and I need a fresh empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Then get in there and pray the way Jesus calls us to pray. So we need to ask. That's the very first principle. We need to ask in faith. But secondly, we need to expect to receive. We need to pray with expectancy that God will fill you. You need to pray with expectancy that God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. I want to call your attention to two phrases Jesus uses in this passage in verse 38. He says, anyone who believes can come and drink. In verse 39, he says, the Holy Spirit will be given to everyone believing in him. Anyone and everyone. Are you an anyone? Are you an everyone? then Jesus is talking to you. This promise includes you. Before you can pray with faith, expecting God to answer, you've got to know that God wants you to have what you are asking for. In 1 John 5:14-15, Jesus says, or the Word of God says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked for. Hallelujah. Jesus, or the Word of God, is saying you can be confident to ask God for anything that He has promised in His Word, anything that is His will. And He has promised us the Holy Spirit. He's told us that it is His will to give the baptism of the Holy Spirit to anyone and everyone who thirsts and who asks. So He has told us repeatedly in His Word that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everyone, everyone who believes in Jesus. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift that is for every believer, and that includes you. It is your rightful portion, your rightful inheritance as a child of God. So you can claim it with boldness because it belongs to you. We need to wait with expectancy, or you need to wait with expectancy for God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. We're not talking to somebody else. This is not for somebody else. It's for you. You can only ask with faith and expectancy for what you know is yours. And then you must wait for it. And wait in the Bible does not mean idly passing the time. As the 120 waited in Jerusalem for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they were praying constantly, expecting for Jesus to fulfill His promise. They were waiting with expectancy. You know, I got my second vaccine shot a couple of weeks ago, and I got it at one of those, state-run sites. But my first shot I had gotten at CVS. So when I got to the site, I had printed out my appointment. I had made an appointment because it was a time when appointments were still required. So I printed out my appointment and all of that. And so when I first got there, you know, they have several checkpoints. And the first checkpoint, they looked at my card. And on the back at those sites, they normally write in your schedule for your second shot. But CVS doesn't automatically do that. So there was nothing written in on my back because on the back of my card because I didn't have a pre-scheduled second appointment at this state-run site. So the lady is going back and forth with me, and you should have this written on the back, and they're going to go by this, and if you don't have it, they're not going to give you your shot. I said, but I have an appointment. I have the paper right here. She goes, okay, well, go on through. You can try it. So then I went through all the other checkpoints, and I get up to the tent where they're supposed to give me the shot, and then they're like, oh, we got to get a supervisor or anything because you didn't have your first shot here. And I said, but I have an appointment. Here's the paper. You know what? I could speak with confidence and expect with confidence to get that shot because it was rightfully mine because I had an appointment promising me that at 2 o'clock on that day, I was going to get my shot. Amen? Now, if I had just come in with no appointment, I would not have any reason to expect. Because at that time, appointments were still required. So I would not have any reason to expect to get my shot. Are you hearing me? We have reason to expect to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit because we've got God's word on it. He says it's for anyone who thirsts. It's for everyone who believes. It's for you. So you can wait with expectancy to receive. Jesus had given them a promise, and they were expecting it to be fulfilled. When we wait on the Lord, we are believing with all of our heart that God is going to do what He said. God is going to fulfill His promise to us. So we need to wait with expectancy. Wait is not doing nothing. They were praying. They were seeking. They were expecting. That's what wait means in a spiritual sense. We need to wait with expectancy to be filled with the Spirit. Hebrews 11:1 says to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. To be sure of the things we hope for, certain of the things we cannot see. Faith and hope go hand in hand. The word hope means to expect eagerly. The word the world uses the word hope as little more than wishful thinking, but biblical hope is a certain expectation. We know it's going to happen, and we're looking for it with expectancy. Let me illustrate the difference between worldly hope and biblical hope. Worldly hope is like entering a contest to win a brand new, let me say iPhone 10. I don't know what number they're up to now. Anybody know what number they're up to now? Well, let's just say, for sake of argument, iPhone 10, all right? And millions of people enter this contest, and you enter the contest, and you're hoping and wishing that you're going to be the one to win this brand new iPhone 10. You're hoping and wishing, when in reality, the odds are millions to one that you're going to get that iPhone. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen? But that's worldly hope. But biblical hope is like going online, ordering the iPhone 10, and you get a notification from Apple with the UPS tracking number, and it says your iPhone 10 is on its way, and it will be delivered to your house between April 25th and April 27th. Now you're hoping with expectation, and your hope is sure because you know it's going to come because it belongs to you. Amen. Am I right? You see, this is the kind of hope that we have when we are looking to God in expectancy. And the hope is because God has given us a confirmation notice called his word that says, this is for you. This is what I'm going to do if you will seek me. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. And God has told us in his word that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is rightfully ours and that it's on its way. Amen. All we have to do is ask. So now we pray and we wait, watching with expectancy as long as it takes. Hebrews 11:1 actually says, now faith. This is another version. Now, faith is having an assurance that because we have trusted God and what he has said, we can expect it will indeed happen, even if we cannot yet see it. Hallelujah. We are confident it's going to happen, even if we cannot yet see it. The third principle that we get from Jesus' teaching here and the word believe is that we must act in faith. And the act of faith is summed up in two words, come and drink. And we looked at those words from a different perspective last week, but we're going to look at them from the perspective of believing. And the first thing we see is that the word come speaks of proximity. Proximity is a nearness or closeness between two places or persons. James 4:8 says, draw near or come close to God, and God will come close to you. Here in John 7:37 through 39, Jesus says, come. If you're thirsty, come. And as we come, seeking, praying, desiring more of God, that desire in us, that coming, attracts the presence of God to us. He comes close to us. As we come to him, he comes to us. And the distance he traverses is far further than the distance we traverse. You know, I'm reminded of the story of the prodigal son, when the father saw him still a far distance away. And what did the father do? He didn't wait for him to come all the way back home. The father ran and met him. And that just shows us the heart of God, you know? We start coming to God and we start taking one or two steps, and God just sees that. And what does he do? He comes running. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Jesus says, come, come. And as we come to him, he comes close to us. And where do we sense the proximity or the closeness of his presence? We sense it in our innermost being. When the Holy Spirit was moving earlier in the service, Could you not feel his presence? Amen. Just like the two men on the road to Emmaus said, and when they finally recognized Jesus' presence, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? You see, we first sense the closeness of his presence in our inner being. We recognize the spirit that is stirring within us. And so when we're seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we come, we're coming to him, and then he comes to us, and we sense that in our inner being, the closeness of his presence. So what do? As we sense that stirring in our spirit, then by faith we need to give release. We need to give release to it. Earlier in the service, before the prophetic word that I spoke, I could feel this stirring in my spirit that God was saying, I want to move. I have a message. And then as I felt that stirring and it just increased, because I've learned when God wants to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, it's something that you can't get away from. You just feel that stirring. And so then what did I have to do? I had to act in faith and give release to that gift of prophecy that was stirring inside of me. And that's what we have to do when we're getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. That stirring will begin within us. And then as we give release to it, the Holy Spirit will give us utterance, but we must release that utterance and speak it forth. So we come, that implies proximity. We're seeking, we're drawing near to God, so he comes near to us. But secondly, he uses the word drink, and that implies opening our mouth to receive. I have never in all my life seen someone drink with their mouth closed. Have you? Now, in another image, let's think about it this way. Have you ever seen someone who has been hit by a bolt of lightning? I've never seen it in person. I've seen news stories. But lightning is a high voltage electricity, and it enters the body at one point, and then guess what? It exits the body at another point. And they can tell where it enters and where it exits because there's usually, you know, a burnt area in the person's flesh. Well, the Holy Spirit is like high voltage electricity. Thank God he doesn't burn us up, but he's like high voltage electricity. And it's the superabundant power of God flowing into us. But just like lightning has an entry point and an exit point, when the Holy Spirit is baptizing us in the Holy Ghost, it's like that high-powered electricity. It has an entry point, but it's also seeking an exit point. Hallelujah. And the first point at which it will flow out from us when we get baptized in the Holy Ghost is that we will speak in other tongues. That's the first exit point of the superabundant power of God. Now, that's not the only outflow of the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just the first one. It's the sign. Then there'll be other evidences of the outflow of the Holy Spirit. One will be boldness to witness. Amen? Another will be the gifts of the Holy Spirit flowing through us in prophecy, tongues, interpretation, healing, miracles, discernment of spirit. That's another exit point of the Holy Spirit. But the first exit point that will be the sign that you have been baptized in the Holy Ghost is that you will speak with other tongues. You will speak with other tongues. So if you are praying and seeking to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need to expect to speak in other tongues, just like the believers on the day of Pentecost were all filled and began to speak with other tongues. Acts 2:4 says, And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. The King James says, as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. So the Spirit was giving the utterance, the prompting, but they had to speak it forth. God gives, but we must act. It requires a bold act of faith to receive what God is giving. Once you sense the Spirit stirring, open your mouth and begin to speak. That's true of being baptized in the Holy Ghost for the first time. It's also true of when God wants to use us in the gifts of the Spirit. We sense the stirring, but then we need to act in faith. So if you're seeking to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, you sense that stirring as you're drawing close to God and you can feel that stirring in your spirit, then open your mouth and begin to speak and let the rivers of his living water flow out from you as he speaks through you in other tongues, praising and magnifying God. Don't worry about what it sounds like. Because I see people tense up when I've been praying for people to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And the moment, you know, they start to, it's called stammering lips. The moment their mouth starts to stammer or stutter, they suddenly get afraid and shut down. And some people think, oh, it sounds like gibberish. Oh, I don't know. I don't want to be making it up. The Bible says, you know, if you ask God for an egg, he's not going to give you a serpent. If you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you're seeking God, you're not going to receive something bad. It's going to be something good. Amen? It may not sound like anything to you. It may sound like gibberish to you. But let's be honest. Sometimes you hear somebody else speak in another language, and it sounds like gibberish to you because you don't understand what they're saying. Am I right? And that's the same way that it will occur with us when we speak in other tongues. It may sound like gibberish to you. You may not know what you're saying. But guess what? You don't need to know what you're saying because God knows what you're saying. And that's what's important. You know, on the day of Pentecost, when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, there was a crowd that gathered because of all this commotion. And they thought these people must be drunk because they were acting in such a way. They were filled with joy and they were speaking in all these languages. A huge crowd of thousands gathered. And they're like, what does this mean? And the Bible says that they heard them speaking in other tongues, but they were actual languages that this crowd could understand. And the Bible lists, I think it's like 16 different languages that they actually heard the followers of Christ speaking, languages they had never learned. It was the supernatural gift of tongues, and they could hear them, and they understood that they were praising and magnifying God. Doesn't matter that you don't understand. Doesn't matter that it sounds like gibberish to you. What matters is that you surrender to the Holy Spirit and you step out in faith and allow His Spirit to flow through you. Just focus on God and what He's doing. And as you sense the presence stirring with you, act in faith, speak in faith, and allow His presence and power to flow out from you. Now, let me tell you something. I don't understand a whole lot about electricity. I know there's positive. I know there's negative. I don't understand a whole lot about electricity. But it doesn't stop me from flipping a switch and turning the lights on. I can't explain how they can have a power plant miles away and the electricity can travel along a line and get into my house. And when I complete that circuit by flipping the switch, I get power in my house. I can't explain all of that. But it doesn't stop me from flipping that switch and enjoying the power. We can't explain everything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We can't understand everything about speaking in tongues. But don't let it stop you from entering in to one of the best gifts that God has for you. Hallelujah. The very fact that you can't explain it is the proof that it's supernatural. It's supernatural. So just step out in faith, trusting God to give you the utterance. There's an old gospel song that says, I came here expecting God to move in mighty wonders as he promised he would do. As the saints lift up his name, the Spirit falls like rain. I came here expecting God to move. Hallelujah. I came here expecting God to move. And I want to invite you to expect God to move in just a few moments. In a few moments, I want to invite you to lift up your voice and say, God, pour out your Holy Spirit, and to pray it with expectancy as you draw near to God. Because in an environment of faith and expectancy, God will move supernaturally. God will come close to us when we come close to him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The only requirement for receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit is that you have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have repented of your sins and received him as your Savior. The word repent simply means to turn away from. It means we recognize we've been heading in the wrong direction, away from God, living a life that's displeasing to God. And we say, I don't want to live that way anymore. And we turn around. We turn to God in faith. We say, God, forgive me of all of my sins. And we invite him to come and live inside of us and help us from that moment forward to live for him. That's what Jesus called being born again. In that moment, we are made spiritually alive. We are made a child of God, and it is the beginning of a lifelong relationship with the Lord. And if you have not yet repented of your sins and placed your faith in Jesus, or maybe you did it some time ago and you've drifted away and you know you need to come back, I want to invite you right now to take this first step of faith and pray with me as I lead us in a prayer to repent of our sins and place our faith in Christ. And the moment you do that in faith, God is going to do exactly what you ask him to do. So if you want today to repent of your sins and place your faith in Christ because you want to become his child, or maybe you want to come back to him, would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I confess that I'm a sinner. And I repent. I turn away from my sin. I ask you to forgive me and to cleanse me from all of my sin. And today, I invite you to come live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for you. I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want to congratulate you and I want to welcome you to the family of God. That is the best decision that you will ever make, is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so we congratulate you and welcome you to the family of God. If you're here in person and you prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you to text the words "I prayed" to the number on the screen. If you prayed that prayer on the live stream, just in the comments, would you just type "I prayed"? Not only because we want to welcome you to the family of God, but more importantly, we have a free e-booklet that we want to send you just to help you understand what you just did, the prayer that you just prayed, because that was a beginning, not an end. We want you to help you understand that prayer, and we also want to help you know what to do in order to grow in your faith and your relationship with the Lord. So would you just type "I prayed" or text "I prayed" right now to the number on the screen. Once again, we congratulate you and welcome you to the family of God. Three quick things to encourage you as you grow in your relationship with the Lord. One, talk to God every day. That's called prayer. You don't need any special language. Just talk to him as you would a friend. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. And the way he talks to us is through the Bible. So read the Bible every day. I want to encourage you to start in 1 John. And then thirdly, get connected to a local church. If you're in South Florida, I want to encourage you to get connected here at New Life Assembly. We have a wonderful church family that will walk alongside of you, encourage you, and support you in your journey. If you're outside of the South Florida area, I encourage you to look for an Assembly of God church near to you and get connected. Don't just attend services, but begin to get involved in the various ministries so you can connect and build relationships with other believers that will help you in your journey with the Lord. At this time, I want to talk to those who have already placed their faith in Christ. And I want to ask you, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Do you desire to see God move? Are you longing for more of his presence and his power? Are you thirsty for a move of God? Did you come here this morning expecting God to pour out his spirit, not only in the service, but in you? Did you come here saying, God, I want you to move in my life. I want you to pour out your Holy Spirit. If that's you, if you want God to move in your life, if you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost or refilled with the Holy Spirit, would you stand to your feet? Just lift your hands to heaven. Don't care about what anybody else is saying or thinking. Would you just lift your voice to him and just say, fill me, God, and just focus your voice and your words on him. Hallelujah, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, Lord God. Lord, we thank you that your promise is for anybody and everybody. We thank you that that means each and every one of us, Lord God. Lord, we just come before you right now, just asking you to pour out your Holy Spirit in a fresh and living way in each of us, Lord. I pray for those that are not yet baptized in the Holy Ghost, that as they seek you, Lord God, that you would pour forth your water as rivers of living water, whether they're here or they're at home, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would have a fervency, that we would have a passion, that we would have a perseverance in prayer, that we'll not give up, Lord God, because we are expecting you to do everything that you said that you would do, Lord God. So I pray that even once this service is over with, that we would continue to seek you at home, Lord God, that we would keep on asking, that we would keep on seeking, that we would keep on knocking until, Lord God, we receive all that you have promised to give and all that we need, Lord God. Father, come and just meet us here. Just lift your voice, church. If you're already filled with the Spirit, just pray in the Spirit. That's how we get a fresh infilling, just praying in the Spirit. Everyone else, just focus on Jesus, on loving Jesus, on worshiping Jesus. More of you, Lord, more of you, Jesus, more of your power, more of your presence, more of your boldness, Lord God. Hallelujah, 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 Lord. We love you. We love you. We honor you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we just pray, Lord God, that there would be just such a stirring in our spirit, Lord God. Your Holy Spirit crying out from our spirit, Lord God, drawing us closer and closer unto you, Lord God, that we might walk in the fullness of your presence, that we might walk in the fullness of your power. Father, we pray that even once the service has ended, we would sense that stirring in our spirit, calling us unto yourself, Lord God, and that we would respond in faith, Lord God, to draw near, to seek you, Lord God. And Father, that even through the week, Lord God, even at home in our prayer time, that you would fill us afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit, that you would baptize those in the Spirit who have not yet been baptized in your Spirit, Lord God. We are praying for you to honor the promise of your word as we seek you, as we ask in expectancy, Lord God, and that you would pour out of your Spirit upon all flesh as you have promised, oh God. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name we pray. Father, continue to move in our lives as we leave from this place. We pray your blessing upon your people here and those who have joined us online. We pray that you would just give them a restful day of spiritual and physical renewal, Lord God, and that you would keep them safe and healthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us in person and online. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Those that are here in person, if you would be seated.